We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved of God, St. Paul reminds us in Romans 3:23 that we all have sinned, and we fall short of the glory of God. We are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, confessing our sins to Him. We confess to Him in the silence of our hearts. And now we confess as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you with ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sin. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as Esther faced her own struggle to do what was easy versus doing what was right, guide us in our own battles that we may be faithful to our calling to follow you and proclaim the truth of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The book of Esther is a beautiful portrayal of courage in the face of danger and the triumph of good in the face of powerful, sinister forces. God calls Esther for such a time as this to put her life on the line for the sake of God's people. Today's portion is about Esther's call to put her faith into action. The readings from Esther chapter 4, verses 6 through 17. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all about what had happened and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, "All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there's but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. The word of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm excited about this sermon series titled Called. It speaks to all of us and where God is calling us to step out in faith and make a greater impact upon this world in which we live. Now, I missed the kickoff last week with Pastor Steve bringing the word about the call of Moses, Moses' reluctance, but also his holy discontent about what was happening with God's people in slavery in Egypt, and how God inspired and encouraged Moses to deliver his people out of bondage. Well, Joyce and I had a really great excuse to miss last week. We attended the wedding of our youngest daughter, Kira, and her husband, Reed. Yeah, great celebration. Yeah. It was a great celebration, small, intimate. And then we got to keep our youngest granddaughter while they took a short little honeymoon. Where am I going with all this? Because all this fits into our calling and that calling of Esther today. But let me give you a little background. And the reason when we were kind of discovering who was going to do which text, I said, I want Esther. I love this story. It has some special meaning for me. You know, as a parent, and some of you can relate to this, as a parent, you raise your children. You guide them. You protect them. You let them learn a few lessons through the school of hard knocks. And then you send them out into the world. And here, of course, this weekend, this is perfect. We're celebrating our seniors who will be graduating soon. And they'll be going off on their own. So hopefully you can relate to this as well. And so the other thing you do as a parent is you worry. It's a crazy world out there. And we are sending our kids out there to spread their wings and learn how to fly. And that's scary. And you worry. And you pray. And you pray some more. And you pray some more. And then along come grandchildren. And they are such a joy and a treasure. You wish you had them first. Doesn't work that way, however. And then as the years start creeping up a little bit more on you, you take notice of the situation, the world around you, and you worry even more. You think, especially about your grandchildren, what kind of future are they going to have? How can I protect them? What can I do to keep them from the horrors of the world in which we live? And this is where Esther comes in. And not just my recent reading this past week or so. It was several years ago when Margot was born, my oldest granddaughter. I told you to listen. I was going to say your name today, so all right. I was reading through the Bible, and I came up on the book of Esther. My eyes were open, and I'll say more about that here in a moment. But here we have the story as it unfolds before us. Mordecai, who's the closest relative of Esther, he raises her like a daughter after her parents died. He knew how frightening the world around him was. He had his own worries and fears. I mean, they had been taken, his people taken captive into Babylon, into exile, when Judah and Jerusalem were destroyed. Now still captive, but under Persian rule, there was a few more freedoms, but still many dangers. And Mordecai was in a position to give Esther the best protection, the best opportunity to have a safe and sheltered life. When Queen Vashti was deposed, the king was searching for a new queen, and Esther, with her God-given beauty, was put at the right place at the right time, and she became queen. And she did live a very sheltered life in the beginning. And Mordecai kept her identity as a Jew secret in the beginning to give her every opportunity to succeed. And while she was sheltered away, another of the king's chief advisors, Haman, who hated the Jews, became even more enraged when Mordecai would not bow down to him. And he bribed the king with a huge sum of money to enact a law that would allow people in all these 127 provinces that Persia had ruled over in that day and time to destroy, to kill all the Jews on a certain day. You wonder where Hitler got the idea from in World War II when he exterminated over 6 million Jews in the Holocaust. Unimaginable horror and evil. And that's what the Jews faced with Haman's hatred toward them and a weak king who cared only about filling his own coffers with more money and power and prestige. This is where Esther comes in. This fourth chapter that we had before us today sets the stage for Esther to deliver God's people from this terrible genocide that was about to happen. Through Mordecai and a messenger, she learns of this terrible edict that had been enacted. And she's in the perfect position as queen to say something to the king. But she's afraid. She could not even approach the king at court unless she was summoned. And with good reason, when you look at the story, you think, okay, it was a protection for the king. And anybody that approached unannounced could face death. They did not want some would-be assassin to come in and rush in and bring an end to the king's life, or some petitioner rush in with their own whims without an appointment and plead with the king for their own agenda. There were laws put in place to stop all of that, prevent that, which included Esther in this particular case. But Mordecai reminded her that even her position as queen would not protect her. If this edict went into effect and her true identity was discovered, Haman would have seen that out of his, again, own greed for power and hatred, that she would be destroyed. Verse 14 is the key verse here. Mordecai's words come as if from the mouth of God. "For if you keep silent at a time like this," he told her, "relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish." In a way, it's a warning to spur her into action. He's telling her, Esther, God has put you at the right place at the right time so that you can make a tremendous difference to deliver the lives of your whole nation from destruction. If you don't do this, God's going to raise somebody else up who will, and you will be destroyed. That had to get her attention. And following that are those powerful words that struck a chord with me. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's those exact words that resonated with me and took away all my worries and my fears for my children, my grandchildren, and their future. And it helped me understand this on a much deeper faith level. I mean, first of all, we got to realize God is in charge. We all need to remember that. You see, God put Esther in that place and in that time for a greater purpose. And it goes back to that old saying, God doesn't call those who are equipped. God equips those whom he calls. And so God had called Esther. He equipped her with beauty and wisdom and faith in order to accomplish what God needed in that moment in history. Now, I have read and reread this passage over the last several years many times. As I think about the future, what may happen, I know that no matter what, my children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, they're going to be okay because God is equipping them for what they need, for what they will face. God's molding in them and shaping them for a greater purpose. And when the time comes, they too can step out in faith and make an impact on this world in which we live. And maybe that's a far-reaching impact like Esther had, that extended all the way from Ethiopia to India. Think about the scope of the Persian Empire of that day. Or maybe it's you impacting just one person. And that's important too. Making a difference in their lives, bringing them to salvation of God, guiding them in the right direction. Every person has a purpose, and God has called you for that purpose, and that is important. And yeah, there's danger. There's always a cost involved in stepping out in faith. And whether you're a fan or not, there's a great quote by J.K. Rowling in that fourth Harry Potter book, movie. Harry's facing grave danger, if you know the whole series, right? And Dumbledore, the wise lead professor there at Hogwarts, shares this quote: "Dark and difficult times lie ahead. Soon we must all face the choice between what is right and what is easy." I love that quote. In other words, the easy path isn't always the best path. Esther could have chosen to say nothing. She could have chosen the easy path. She could have stayed in her secluded spot, sheltered behind a life of luxury and security. But she stepped out in faith. She chose to put her life on the line. She risked death so that she could speak up and deliver her people from certain death and destruction. I want to thank John, our youth minister here, for reminding me of another man that I'd forgotten about over the years, who also put his life on the line for the sake of the gospel. Richard Wurmbrand. Some of you may or may not have heard of him, but let me share a little word about that. He was a Romanian evangelical Lutheran pastor and professor known for his unwavering Christian faith under communist persecution. He lived and served in Romania following World War II, while communist Russia was swallowing up much of Eastern Europe at that time, not only outlawing Christianity, but subverting many of the churches and pastors and other leaders of the day, just like Hitler did in Germany, swaying them to support the Communist Manifesto out of a false sense of seeking to serve the poor and the impoverished. Many Christians followed blindly when they took the easy route. And I think that's a warning for us today, to stand firm in our faith, to be bold, and not to give in to the watering down of our faith, which has already begun in our society, but to stand firm. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, I probably said that wrong, Bonhoeffer? Okay, there we go. Was another one who stood up in Germany, and it wound up costing him his life. But not before he shared some valuable writing with us today. I go back to Richard Wurmbrand. He didn't take the easy route either. He went underground to continue to preach the gospel, to make an impact in people's lives throughout Romania and Eastern Europe and even into communist Russia. He was imprisoned for 14 years, endured tremendous, severe torture, yet preached to fellow inmates and even to his captors. His body would bear the scars and the pain of that torture for the rest of his life. He and his wife wound up immigrating to the United States in 1964, where he founded the Voice of the Martyrs to advocate for persecuted Christians worldwide, which unbelievably still happens today. And I experienced some of that years ago when I went to Ethiopia. That's a whole nother story. But he wrote many other books as well, Richard Wurmbrand did, to share his story, to do the power of the gospel at work in the midst of those dark and difficult times. St. Paul in the Bible is another great example of someone who knew there was a cost, but who stepped out in faith to share the message of the gospel in some very dangerous places. He put his life on the line many times, and that led to one of the greatest evangelistic messages or efforts growing the church, that early church, by just great lengths in that day and time, in the early days of the Christian church. And Paul wrote these words, and I love these words, in Romans 14, 7 and 8. And it's really about all of us and our calling to serve God. He says, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Those are some extremely powerful words. Because we worship a Savior who also knew the cost. Jesus came down as God incarnate, God in the flesh, fully experiencing the life that we face, knowing that in order to save us, he would have to pay a terrible, terrible price. And yet, out of God's great love for all of us, Jesus was willing to pay that price. It's in Luke chapter 22, beginning with verse 42, where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He left his disciples and told them to watch while he went ahead to pray. And here are his words in that moment. Father, Jesus prayed, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. There's a little verse that's added to that. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. Again, Jesus knew the cost. He could have walked away. He could have chosen what was easy. Instead, he chose what was right. God's will, knowing that he would suffer and die a horrible death. But Jesus was strengthened in that moment by an angel because he also knew that on the third day he would rise again victorious from the tomb to conquer sin, death, and the devil and all the horror and all the evil of this world. And that's where our hope lies, in the one who had the victory over sin and death. The reward far outweighs the cost that we might face. And so may we have faith like Esther. May we have perseverance like Paul. And may we have that hope of our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
Now let us join in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord God, you call each of us to be faithful and follow you. As you place opportunities in front of us, help us like Esther to boldly step forth in faith that we may have impact on people's lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we do live in a sinful, broken world filled with evil and horror. Give us the courage and the faith to stand up and raise our voices to combat evil and to proclaim the truth of your word that leads to salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of power and might, be with our men and women who face dangers on the battlefield and those who put their lives on the line. Lord, may we even dare to pray for our enemies, that your word may be planted in their hearts and take root and transform their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all who are sick or ill, those facing surgery, tests, treatments, or other ills. We pray especially for Curtis Stout, Clinton Feuge, Iris Bura, and Shirley Feller for our upcoming surgery. We also pray for those on hospice, Alice Behrens, Emma Hirschfield, and Bill Petmacki. Grant to all in need of your strength, hope, and mercy. Lord, in your prayer. Oh, in our mercy. Father God, we pray for all of our graduates and their families as they enter into a new phase of their lives. Protect them and guide them and stir them to pursue their calling, that they might use the gifts you have given them to make greater positive impact on this world in which we live, and remind them that you walk with them in their journey and that they are not alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Then, Izzy, Kate, Hannah, Miss Bella, and then Derek. All right, so parents are going to want to get pictures, so like scoot down there a little bit. I'll get around you. Okay, so as I've been pondering what to do for you guys, and I love doing Senior Sunday. I was reading through the Word, trying to find a Bible verse that could really speak to you guys' ear. You guys have gone through a lot as you were heading through middle school. You went through COVID or coming just out of COVID, and then you had to learn everything all over again, how to do distance learning, how to be with your people again, and what it meant to spend a full day at school versus being at home all day. And so I actually rested on Matthew 5, 13 through 16. I believe it should be up on the screen. And it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." There's two pieces to that. One of them is that you are to remain salty, or salty and lit, however you want to say it. But you are to remain salty. In ancient days, they would use salt to preserve meat. And if you didn't put the salt on meat, it would rot. And so you are the salt of the earth. There is a lot of rottenness and a lot of decay in our world. Be the salt that helps preserve our world. But then it says to be a light. And I want you guys to be a light to those around you. As you guys are going out into the world, some of you are doing a professional stance. Some of you are going to trade school or college. Everywhere you go, be the light of the world. Share what we have done and invested in you here to those around you. But with that, I would like to pray over you. And the congregation, if you can extend a hand, we will pray over you one last time in next service as a congregation. So, dear Heavenly Father, I pray for every single senior, Lord, even the ones that may not be with us here today. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them. And as they go about into this real world where they become adults for the first time, that they will not forget what you have taught them in this church through confirmation, through Sunday school, Lord, through the messages. I just pray that every word will come back true and no word will come back void. I pray, Lord, that they can witness to those around them, that they can bring revival through their colleges, through their workplace, Lord. And as they go to start families in a few years, Lord, that they will raise their kids up in the truth. So, God, we're so thankful for the memories that they've made here. But, Lord, we're so much more thankful for the things that they're going to tell us about what you've done through their life in the years to come. In your holy, mighty name, amen. All right, you guys can...
Worship has now ended. We leave to live out God's call. To save the lost and to strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples. Blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, he is with you always, even till the end of time. Go in peace, serve the Lord.